All right, let's start. Let's do our opening prayer, and then we'll just jump right in. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated unto you, and then use us, we pray, as you will, and always to your glory and the welfare of your people, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you guys. Missed you last week. Hopefully you had some rest, and hopefully you tried some new rhythms of rest. But I'm excited to be back with you and continue working to build out our trellis. So we're like stepping over the halfway mark this week and into these last two boxes. And prayerfully, you've had some time to start building out your boxes. So I wanted to give an additional resource. So I did this last week, and I thought I would think about another book that kind of applied to this week again. So The Search for Significance, this is the church library copy. So if you want to like arm wrestle over it, this lives back there and you could probably borrow it. But The Search for Significance, so this book is all about identity. So the little subtitle, Seeing Your True Worth Through God's Eyes. How does this apply? Well, a lot of times work is a pretty big identifying factor in our life, particularly vocation. And so as the enemy tries to create patterns within us based on lies and things like that, Robert McGee does a really good job of just really unpacking what is our real worth in God and how do we find it outside of some of the things that we would traditionally find our worth and identity in. So that's just a freebie if you're interested in that and want to read this book. It says there's over 2 million in print, so that's like kind of a significant little book there. But it is really good, and I enjoyed it thoroughly, and it changed the way I thought about a lot of things. So if it's something you're interested in, you can borrow this copy, or you can get it on Thrift Books for pretty cheap. I think I got one for like $4 on Thrift Books. So hopefully tonight, though, we'll talk about even some of the things that Robert McGee talks about. So as promised, we're looking at the work box tonight. And while we're here, I wanted to just do a quick poll. How many people have started filling out their boxes? You're working on it, thinking about it, or my favorite student. Yeah, so ish, but good to be working on it as we go. But this is always a fluid process. So I look at my rule every year, and sometimes more often than that, as seasons change in life. But good to be working on it as we go, and I would just really encourage you to, as you're going through this process, set maybe some additional time apart that you're thinking specifically about building out your boxes. And so we're looking at work, and so the great question Shannon asked was, what is work, or how are we defining work? And so I wanted to start with that. So before we even look at our anchoring question, I want to propose a definition of work that may be a little different than other definitions you may have seen. And so from the time I give you this definition forward in this talking, if I'm talking about work, I'm talking about this definition of work. And if I'm talking about a job, then I'll say vocation, right? So just so we have that clarity. If I'm talking about your job or something you do that earns money or an income, then I'll say vocation. If I'm talking about work, then I'm talking about this definition. And so let's look at this definition, work. So I want us to look at work, it's kind of a big idea, as the joy of co-laboring with God to cultivate heavenly realities through our earthly responsibilities, through acts of love, charity, service, and vocation. So I believe that if we look at work this way, if we look at the biblical narrative of work, the purpose and meaning of work, and really our life for that matter, then we see that God is constantly through Scripture inviting us to join Him where He's already at work. And so sometimes we get that backwards. We think whatever we're doing in life, we come to a point where we meet Jesus or we start hearing about God and we just want to add that to our life, right? We want to invite God into our story. And I think the opposite is actually true. What's happening in Scripture is that God is calling people into His story, a greater story. And what we believe as followers of Jesus is that we're invited into this story to participate. that when Jesus comes and says, my kingdom is coming, there are these new realities, redemption, restoration of the world, it's all coming through me, that we're invited to be a part of that process. So as followers of Jesus, when he says, follow me, take up your cross, die to yourself, all those things, what he's saying is, I'm inviting you to cultivate heavenly realities through your earthly responsibilities, that the patterns of the world can be changed through you, through the work of your hands and your feet and your gifts, and you're my treasure and you're carrying this out in the world. And so if we look at things that way, if we think about work this way, then it includes our vocation, yes, but it is so much more than that. It is more in the sense that we're thinking about this idea that God's inviting us in to his redemption for the world, and we get to participate in this process as co-laborers, as working with God to bring about these realities. And we do that through the way we love, through the way we give, our charity, through our service, and through our jobs, but not primarily through our jobs. Is that making sense? And so I believe that if we consider our earthly responsibilities as this radical invitation to join God in redemption, then we would approach our life very differently. We would approach work very differently. We would approach these things very differently. So in many ways, tonight's teaching might be less practical than other weeks. Like when we look at the rhythms, you might be like, well, what's the actual rhythm, right? But a lot of what we're going to do is kind of question tonight. A lot of what we're going to do is just consider and think, like, what do we really believe to be true about what God's inviting us to do with our time in service to others and in our vocation? And so that's what we're going to primarily be doing tonight. And so the scripture that I want to be our anchor is not your typical work scripture. It actually doesn't say work in it. But I believe that this scripture will give us a new standard for thinking about work as well as measuring our success at work. And so it's Psalm 37:3, and it says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. And the part that I want us to stick on is that befriend faithfulness. What I pray that you hear, and perhaps we'll spend some time marinating on, is befriending faithfulness. So if we think about this particular definition of work, we consider that God's measure of success and how well we've joined him in co-laboring is going to be different than what we're naturally bent towards, because we often measure our success in fruitfulness, right? What did I produce? And I would like us to consider that God is actually wanting to measure our faithfulness, that he wants us to befriend faithfulness in one direction for a long period of time. And in our work, if we do that, if we're loving, charitable, serving, then we are faithful to those things in one direction, then that would be us joining God at work. And so, does that all make sense? Yes? Okay. So, our anchoring question, you could guess it, what do I believe to be true about God's love for me when I work? Right? Same as all the other questions, because this is the rub. Whatever we believe to be true about God's love for us in whatever box we're in is the way we're going to set up our rhythms and our patterns. And so as I've been doing, I want to contrast it, right? What's the lie or the untruth that we've been told? And then what is actually true? And so the lie or the untruth that we've been told is, again, when I work, God's more pleased with me or loves me more, right? And that is not uncommon. So I could say, very much most of my life, most of my even Christian life, I believe this to be true. I believe that when I worked, when I got busy, when I was doing the very good things that God had called me to, he loved me more in those moments. And what that did in my heart was it created some depression, it created some great sadness, and it created some great distance in my own mind between me and God. Not a distance that was actually there, but a distance that I created when I wasn't working. So if I was on vacation from work, or if I was sick and I couldn't go to work, then I felt like I'm really letting God down. I'm really not living up to my end of the bargain. And this is a destructive pattern that many of us live with in our lives. Specifically, I remember there was a season between when I was teaching full-time and when I founded Peace Prep. And so during that season, I was just fundraising for a year. And so most days that looked like me sitting in my little porch office kind of by myself, sending emails, calling people, or going and meeting people at coffee shops. And I remember during that season really struggling, because when you meet a new person, they're always going to ask you, what do you do, right? And for a long time, I just could not figure out how to say what it is that I did. I'm like, well, I sort of pray a lot. I sort of think a lot. I send a lot of emails. I'm trying to do this thing. Like, this is the vision. I could tell them about that. But it was hard for me to say, this is specifically my vocation, right? And so because of those unhealthy attachments, it was a very, very dark season for me, until God, through the Holy Spirit, began to rewire my mind, began to reorient my thinking about God's love, and led me to the actual truth, which is, when I work, I can become more aware of God's love for me. So not that when I work, I'm moving the needle on God's love, that when I work, when I'm co-laboring with God to bring about heavenly realities, then I have the ability to be more aware of God's love for me. And so when we consider this new definition of work that I have proposed, engaging with God in acts of love, charity, service to others, if we see our vocation not just as like the end-all be-all of all of our abilities, then I think we have a powerful connection to God, and we can experience His love when we realize, hey, everything I do, all of my responsibilities connect me to Your love. When we work, we can become more aware of God's love for us. But again, the constant reminder in this whole process is that it does not change God's love for us. Our awareness is the only needle that we can move. We can't move the needle on God's love for us by working harder or more, being more charitable, more loving, more whatever it is, right? But we can become more aware of God's love. So I want to, again, as I've been doing, define the box. So when we define the box, this is how we want to define the work box. So rhythms of work that allow rootedness and connectedness to the love of God to flourish. So that's what we're considering inside of this box. What are the rhythms or the patterns I have around this new definition of work? So what are the rhythms and patterns I have around love? So loving my neighbor, loving myself, loving the Lord. What are the rhythms I have around charity, giving of my time, my treasure, my talent? What are the rhythms I have around service? How am I serving others, both believers and non-believers, building up the body and being evangelistic, right? All of that is part of our work as believers. And then, again, what is our actual vocation? So you might get practical when we get to that point, and you might think about, what are rhythms within my actual vocation that could connect me more to God's love? But I also want you to consider all these other aspects of work as we go through. So here are the things that we're going to consider as we do each week. We want to be specific, we want to be reasonable, and we want to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. And as I mentioned, tonight's not going to be as practical as other nights, but these are the three kind of areas that I want us to be considering in our rhythms of work. So we're going to consider our gifts, our talents, and our abilities. We're going to consider our spiritual gifts. And we're going to consider our vocation and calling, because work is not alone vocation and calling, but that is an aspect of work. So it would be remiss to not talk about our work and specifically our calling. And again, as with every week, there's a slide for each one of these. So if I'm moving quickly here, it's only to spend more time on the actual topic. So let's look at gifts, talents, and abilities. And again, I'm proposing questions tonight, right? So there's a lot of questions for you to consider. So consider, as it relates to your gifts, talents, and abilities, what are the areas that God has gifted me that can be used in love, charity, and service? Again, so looking at that definition of work, what are the areas that God has gifted me that can be used in love, charity, and service? So I think this is probably one of the most missed aspects of work. I think a lot of times, because we prioritize vocation and we prioritize things like having a living wage, and these things are not bad, but because we prioritize them, we can push down what we actually are passionate about, or what God has actually gifted us in, or what abilities we actually have. And so I want to flip that and cause us to think a little bit about, what are we gifted in? What are the talents we have? And what are the abilities we have? And I think by taking time to consider rhythms that actually cultivate these desires within us. We will want to be more loving, we will want to be more charitable, and we will want to serve others with those gifts. Because when we find out, like, this is something I'm good at, this is something I like to do, and we will like to do that with other people. That is my opinion, but I think that that is true, and I think that if we're looking at work this way. So I'll tell you a story about how I'm the beneficiary of seeing this. So in my vocation or my work, one of the things I'm responsible for is cultivating relationships with people who want to give money, but also who want to give their time, right? They want to give their service to the ministry work that we're doing at the school. And so one of the beauties of that is always people ask this question, well, what do you need, particularly as it relates to volunteerism? What do you need? And I always say, what do you do? Or what do you like to do? And some people get annoyed by that, but other people are like, that's really considerate that you would actually want to know what I like to do before just telling me to do something. And the reason I ask that question is because I want everybody who wants to serve alongside us to think about what it is God's gifted them in, what are the abilities they have, and how can they share that with others with joy. And so I've seen I saw a group of guys one time who had been in a discipleship group for decades together who really liked doing handiwork. And they came in and they painted a bunch of classrooms, did a bunch of trim and caulking and other things that I have no idea how to do. But they did it and I watched them and they were very joyful. They were enjoying themselves. They were working, right? And they loved it and they were excited to serve. Another guy I saw who was an aerospace engineer was like, can I come fly foam airplanes with the kids? I was like, sure, that sounds awesome. And so he showed up with a bunch of his buddies from Georgia Tech. They tilted these plastic tables up like this, and they flew airplanes off of them into a parking lot for hours. And it was beautiful. They were using something that God had gifted them in, had given them an ability in, and they were offering it with joy. And then another example is many of you know the Harms brothers, who are into coding and computers. And they come and they set up this whole thing and they teach our kids how to code and do computer things that I don't understand. But they're taking the things that they do, the work they do with their hands, the way God's gifted them, and they're offering that with joy. And so my encouragement to you is to take some time to take stock and think about the things that you like to do, the things that bring you joy, and how you can do that in service to others, and how you will feel God, you're joining God in His work in that way. Because a really powerful transformation can happen in your own life when you begin to offer yourself in that way. And so the things to consider are your hobbies, your desires, and your passions. What are the things you like to do? And you may find in there that there are some things that you could really do that are a new way to look at work in your own life. The next one is spiritual gifts. And these two questions, these are big questions. And so I acknowledge that. So these are like, take time to think about these. And the first one is not meant to like be belittling, but it's a real question. Am I aware of my spiritual gifts? Like, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? And I want to say here that if you don't, then we would love to connect you to some resources to find out what your spiritual gifts are. A couple years ago, we focused on this in our all-church retreat, and we did a little simple spiritual gifts inventory that would give you a little bit of an idea of what some of your spiritual gifts are. And it was really cool to see people engage in discussion around things they knew about themselves and some things they didn't know about themselves and consider new ways they might want to offer their gifts to the body. Now, I want to say this. This is not a ploy to get more people to volunteer at church. Not what this is about. We did not have like a secret leadership meeting and say like, what would really get more people to serve in the kids area is if we convinced them it was their spiritual gift. Not what I'm saying at all. But I want to honestly and earnestly say to you that the way we engage in building up the body of Christ is an aspect of our work as believers. And we have to take time to carefully consider that. You see the scripture there from 1 Corinthians, and really that whole chapter 12 is meaty and really dives into the spiritual gifts and what they are. But I just want to read verses 4 through 7. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So, very simply put, If you are a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in you and you have been given a gift. It is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life, and it is for the common good, meaning it is meant to be shared. And so think about that as you're thinking about work and your rhythms of work. What are the ways that I'm using my spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ, right? So the one question is, am I even aware of them? And if you're not, then there are some possible rhythms you could cultivate to become aware of your gifts. And the second is, how am I using them? And both of these, I want to say that I'm available. Leon, Drew, Rachel, anybody else in the church would love to help you think about how our specific local church body could use your spiritual giftings, because we are all better when we're all sharing our spiritual giftings with each other. And so the big question is, are you aware of it? And if not, then please consider doing some work to figure out what your spiritual gifts are, and consider some ways that you can practically start to use them in the body of Christ. Because I believe this is another aspect of work that will really be a lot. If it's more of your focus than the vocation piece, I think this is the areas where we'll grow more in understanding the love of God for us than necessarily our jobs. Like, yeah, we could do better around our jobs, but like, really understanding our spiritual gifts and really understanding the ways that we serve each other, those are the things that are going to connect us to that co-laboring aspect of this definition of work. And so last one here to consider. So vocation and calling. Again, I want to reiterate, work is not just vocation, but work is vocation in the same thread. So your job title, your place of employment, or whatever stage of life that you're in right now is not a limiting factor in your ability to join God in co-laboring with joy. So let me say that again. Whatever your job is, your job title, your particular thing you're doing with your time in life right now is absolutely not a limiting factor in how God is willing and able to use you to co-labor with Him. Whatever you happen to do for the bulk of your time does not limit God's ability to use you. Does that make sense, everyone? I just want to be very, very clear about that, because we all come from different places and do different things. Some of us might be thinking right now, like, tomorrow's Monday, that's terrible, I'm going to have to go to work. And others of us might be thinking, tomorrow's Monday, I can't wait to get to work. And then we're all the ways in between, right? And it might depend on the day or the season. But I don't want us to think about our jobs as limiting factors in the way that God will use us to co-labor with Him in joy. And so with that said, these are some guiding questions. Two main considerations. One, how am I glorifying God with and in my vocation? And then the second one we're going to look at is, who am I called to be versus what am I called to do? That's an important aspect of calling that I think we need to consider. So I want to bring us back to the anchoring scripture. So Psalm 37. This is where befriending faithfulness can bring a whole new aspect to the way we look at work, and specifically vocation. So every day at your job will not feel like the greatest day on earth. Some days it might feel like the worst, but faithfulness in one direction over a long period of time can be a really powerful witness for what it means to be a follower of Jesus, right? The things that we do that are not that exciting in service and love to others within our job can be a powerful witness to Jesus and can really glorify God. And so I really want to just reiterate here that faithfulness over a long period of time is what God is desiring to cultivate in us as we're co-laboring with Him. And bringing glory to God is not reserved for those in full-time Christian ministry. So I also want to be clear about that. In anything you do, you can bring glory to God. So it's not reserved for those who have a missionary role or a church role or work for some specific Christian ministry. Wherever you are, God is there. Wherever you are, the Holy Spirit is there. Whatever you're doing can be done to the glory of God. But it won't happen by accident, and so we have to think about the rhythms that we have in our job that glorify God and point people to Him. And the second question here is one I think is also worth exploring. Who am I called to be versus what am I called to do? And this is an important aspect in considering calling, because I think sometimes when we think about calling, again, we get stuck in the trap of, well, it must be something related to ministry. And I think if we separate it out and we think about it this way, who am I called to be? What kind of Christ follower am I called to be? What kind of presence am I called to have in my place of employment? That will change the what perception we have versus just thinking about, like, what is it I'm called to do? What is my job role? And so I want to go back to a quote that I've used before from Pete Scazzaro. And this is an encouragement to think about, again, your gifts, your talents, your desires. This is a long quote, so I'll read it. We're not called by God to die to the good parts of who we are. God never asked us to die to our healthy desires and pleasures of life, to friendship, joy, art, music, beauty, recreation, laughter, and nature. God plants desires in our hearts so we will nurture and water them. And often these desires and passions are invitations from God, gifts from Him, yet somehow we feel guilty unwrapping those presents, right? Consider who it is God's called you to be in your doing, as opposed to considering what God's called you to do specifically. So my encouragement as we transition to our table groups is this. With the Holy Spirit, begin to discern rhythms that connect with your deepest desires. Those gifts that God's given you to unwrap. The spiritual gifts that He's given you. And consider the kinds of rhythms that are going to anchor you into the deep love that God has for you. God's invitation to us to co-labor with Him is an aspect of His love. He's inviting us to work alongside Him, to cultivate heavenly realities through our earthly responsibilities. And that is an exciting thing. We can do that with joy, and we can offer ourselves, our gifts, our talents, our passions, everything we are and everything we do to God to make heavenly realities possible, to pray and believe what Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We have the ability to do that. We have the responsibility to do that through our work. Amen? All right, so let's move into our table questions. Three again tonight. And so you'll have to think back 2 weeks to some of your rhythms of rest, but I'd love for you to share with each other what rhythms of rest you tried, how they were for you. Then I'd love for you to think about, just have some conversation around this definition of work, because it may be new for you. Maybe you already thought about work that way, but have some conversations around the definition of work. And then what are rhythms that you keep as it relates to work? So if you have rhythms that you keep as it relates to work now, talk about those with each other, because it could spur something in you as you're considering your rhythms of work. All right? So we'll do a good 25 minutes. And you might, like, if you guys don't want to do twos, you can do fours, but you can do twos also. Okay. So enjoy your discussion.